pastor was asked to teach the fourth grade Sunday school class. And he chose the topic of marriage to speak on. So as he looked at his class, he asked his students, what does God have to say about marriage? And immediately a young man spoke up and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Marriage is a huge decision. It's a big decision whether you're a parent and you need to grant permission to your child to marry the person of their desire. It's a, if you will, enormous decision on the part of that young person who is trying to figure out, is this the right one for me? Is this someone that I can marry? Would you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7? This is where Paul will address these concerns. Now, as you're turning there, let me just throw three questions your way. First of all, to the single people, what should you prayerfully consider before you say, I do? What should you prayerfully consider? How about to the parent? What should you contemplate before you say you can? And then finally, the third question, which is a pertinent question, who is fair game to be married? I mean, what are my choices? What am I looking for? Three questions. We'll see if they don't get addressed well by the Apostle Paul by the end of the sermon. Let me read the text to you. It's a little longer. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 25. And you might be sitting here today and you're going, you know, Pastor, I'm an older person. This doesn't really pertain to me. Yes, it does. Shame on you if you do not think this pertains to you. Are not the older women to train younger women? Come on. Are not the older men to train the younger men? Come on, I can't hear you. Yes. That's right? Okay. So everybody has a stake in this. And by the way, this is what God has designed. So we want to understand very clearly his purposes and intents for our society. Chapter 7, 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. Verse 39. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment, and I think I also have the Spirit of God Let's pray together. Father, we want to say thank you for not leaving us in the dark. You have given us such great instruction through your word concerning marriage for those that are single as well as for those that are married, what their responsibilities are. So, Father, once again today, I bow before you in my heart. I desire that the Spirit-living God, the author of this text, would now speak to each heart and help us to understand the importance of this text today. We ask you, as only you can, Lord, to open our eyes, give us that illumination so we so desperately need. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one, prayerfully consider. Let me say that again. Prayerfully consider your situation before saying, I do. Paul is now introducing a new topic. And how do we know that? The Greek words paradai, or now concerning, that we see in verse 25. We've seen them before. We'll see them again in the future. He is answering some of the questions that the Corinthians had for him. And he's addressing a topic of virgins. Who is a virgin, sexually inexperienced person who is not married. Paul now will speak to a topic that Jesus never addressed. And that's what he says in the next expression. I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. In other words, God, via the Holy Spirit, is now going to, if you will, speak through Paul to us on this topic. By the way, contrary to popular philosophy, every man needs a wife. See, when things go wrong, there are some things that you cannot blame the government for. So every man needs to have his own wife. Okay, I just thought I'd throw that out, no extra charge. Okay. Some of the men laughed. Verse 26, Paul speaks of the present distress. What was the present distress going on in the Corinthian church? And the frank answer is, we don't know. Could it be persecution that they were facing, perhaps? Was it talking about a future persecution that was coming under Nero in just 10 years? The madman, the Emperor Nero, would have a horrific persecution on Christians. Let me tell you how. He would take some Christians, sew them up in animal skins, and then, if you will, feed them to the wild dogs. Was that a thrill to look forward to as a Christian? Knowing that your emperor was having fun at your expense, having you devoured by wild dogs. Also, when he would have a party and he needed light for his garden, he would take Christians, impale them, and light them on fire so that there could be light for everyone. Paul says, perhaps under such circumstances, it's better to stay single. Men, how would you deal with martyrdom yourselves? How would you deal with it if somebody said, you know what, renounce Christ or I'm going to kill you? How would you deal with that? Okay. How would you deal with it, moreover, if you had a spouse? You had a wife that you needed to care for, and perhaps she was going to go through something similar. And then you add to that, what if you also had children? Think about it. Present distress. We, again, don't know that that was the situation at the time, but that's a possibility. But let me say this. Wisdom cries out to you and me today that every single person needs to attentively evaluate his or own or her own situation concerning marriage. You need to look at the circumstances in your realm and figure out, is this what God would have for me? And can I throw a few things out your way that you can think about? Going to get married. How about finances? I know of pastors today that churches will not take them to be their pastor because they have too much school debt. Because the church can't pay them enough money in order for them, if you will, to be able to be supported by that church. How about in marriage? You look at a situation, you go, okay, I think I want to marry you. But all of a sudden, that person to whom you're going about to get married might have $50,000 debt or $100,000 debt or $200,000 debt. Is that something that should be factored in? You know the circumstance. You know the situation. And can I say to you, one of the major problems with marriage today that they struggle with is what? finances. So it's something you need to look at. It might be different in every situation, but let me tell you something. You better evaluate those things. You know, so funny, when I was thinking about this, I thought of a Jay. I did. I thought of a Jay. I thought when he met Ruth, you know, do you go through this checklist? You, first of all, you look at the girl. And I can hear Jay going, yep, she's better than I deserve. That passes. But I can also see Jay going to Ruth and saying, can I look at your financial portfolio next? I can almost envision a Jay doing that. I don't know if you did or not, a Jay. You don't have to reveal it here. But that's what I thought about. You know what? If you're going to marry somebody, quite honestly, you do need to evaluate all things carefully and consider your circumstances individually. That is wisdom. You also need to look at family. That's exactly right. The person that I'm going to marry, do they have elder care or parent care? It's a burden. I mean, seriously, if you come into a marriage and you have somebody who, if you will, has a parent that has a lot of physical needs at that point in life, or you're going to marry into a family and you know that that family is controlling and has always controlled the individual that you are contemplating marrying, right? That's why we have the leave and cleave, do we not, from Genesis chapter 2. That is why we have such clear direction given. But I'm just telling you, folks, you need to evaluate very carefully and before the Lord your circumstances to make sure that God gives you the green light in order to move forward. And every situation is different. Every situation is not the same. So take it to heart. Now, with the present distress introduced in verse 26, that is why Paul asked these questions in verse 27. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loose. Perhaps some of the Corinthians were going to use this as an excuse to get out of their marriage. And Paul's saying, no, if you are bound to a wife, if you're married, do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? In other words, you're single. He says, under these circumstances, it might be better not to seek a wife. Okay. Now, he's going to elaborate upon this because in verse 28, he says, even if you do marry, that's not sinful. That's not wrong, but understand that under the present distress, whatever situation was going on in Corinth, that some people were going to have trouble in the flesh. They were going to suffer. And by the way, the treasurer from Corinth, Erastus, mentioned in Romans 16:23, Fox's Book of Martyrs says that he was martyred at Philippi. A lot to think about. There was a present distress. There were problems that were going on. It's not like, if you will, the American culture today where you have full freedoms to worship the Lord. Now, verse 29 really brings this in perspective because this is what we all need to think about regardless of your circumstance. It says this, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. What does Paul mean by that? The time is short. Is he talking about the rapture? Is he referring to that Christ could come back for us at any moment? That's a possibility. And by the way, that is true. Understand this. And I don't care today if you're 8 or you're 18 or you're 78. The time could be short because the Lord Jesus could come back in a moment. And we're going to be changed rapidly. In the blink of an eye, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So knowing that the Lord could come back at any moment, you need to stay focused on the Lord, right? So maybe he's talking about the rapture. Maybe he's talking about, hey, just life is short. And it is. Life is so very brief. James 4:14 says that life is a vapor. And come on, as we're getting older, it doesn't seem like we have birthdays. It seems like now we go by decades, right? I was 20 yesterday. I was 30 the day after. I was 40. You know what I'm talking about. It goes by so very rapidly. Life is short. So what are you doing with the time that you have? Paul is saying, hey, stay focused on the Lord. If you're single, stay focused on the Lord. If you're married, stay focused on the Lord. It doesn't matter whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, and may I say, whatever your emotional state. Some of you right now feel beat up. Some of you feel pummeled. It's like, Lord, how much more can I take? For you, stay focused. Why? Because life is short. Christ can come back at any moment. Make sure that you are doing the things that when you stand before him in the future, you can say, I used my time wisely. Or perhaps he's talking about it's dangerous days out there. Ephesians 5:16. redeeming the time. Literally, it says buying up the time in the Greek, because the days are evil. And our days are evil. People are being murdered. You know, Kenny talked about the martyrdom that's occurring even around the world right now as we speak. There are evil people out there who would not hesitate to take your life if they can take your valuables. You don't know when your last day might be. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So may I say to you, whether it's the rapture, whether it's because your time is short, just biologically, or perhaps because of the dangerous days in which we live, nonetheless, you need to stay focused and use your time wisely. And that is what Paul is saying here. Use your time for the Lord. It's so short. Notice beginning in the middle of verse 29, because these verses can kind of be confusing. So that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. And those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. You know what he's saying? Regardless of your situation emotionally, whether you're married or single, whether you've got good circumstances going on. Yeah, you know, I had a good circumstance the other day. My fortune cookie. You ever look at your fortune? I always love my fortune cookies. I showed this to my parents last night, and they said, forget it. You will inherit a large sum of money, okay? It's right there. If any of you want to contribute to the Burge Foundation, it's right here. You know, regardless if I'm the one who's just come into a large sum of money or I've just had something happen to bankrupt me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change. We need to stay focused on the Lord. Money makes itself wings, my friends. It does. Don't make any distinction that, you know, as if, you know, I'm going to be rich for all, forever and never lose all of this. You don't know. Regardless if you're in good times, regardless if you're in bad times, regardless if you're married, regardless if you're single, the point of the idea is don't let your emotions get caught up where you get so wrapped up in this world that you miss out on the world to come. That's what he's saying here. The point he is trying to make is that given, if you will, at the end of verse 31, for the form of this world is passing away. Do you understand that? That even right now, this world is in the process of passing away. It is. It is. How do I know that? How do I know that, Brian? The Bible tells us so. That's exactly right. I'm glad he got the answer right. Okay, glad he wasn't sleeping in the back. That's always a good thing, you know. For another day. Okay. 1 John chapter 2, 15 says, do not love the world. Literally from the Greek, it's a present imperative. It could be translated, stop loving the world. Why should we stop loving the world? It goes on to say, if anyone loves the world system, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. If anybody loves this world system, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and this is what's in the world, this is what is, if you will, being hurled at us on a daily basis, saying, this is what you need to be drawn to, what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these things are not of the Father, but are of the world. And listen to what John says, and the world is passing away. You know that's a present tense verb, everybody? Right now, it says, the world is passing away. You got that sun 93 million miles away. Would it last forever? Well, you know, it really doesn't matter. You know why? 2 Peter 3:10 talks about the day when the Lord is going to destroy the heavens and the earth by fire and they're going to be gone. Your trophies, your degrees, your bank account. Yeah, even gold. I know we're being told, buy gold now. Buy gold. Yeah, hit eye on. How many gold commercials can anybody have? I keep telling my kids, Father's Day just passed, and I did not get a tangible asset. I want gold. I want to put it under my pillow. I want to hug it. You get the idea. All that stuff, my friends, is going to be gone. It is. And yet we have people that think they've arrived when they have a little more gold. Or they think they've arrived when they have a little more popularity. Or they think they've arrived when they have the next degree. They think that's what's going to make it complete. It is not. This world and all the desires and everything that's affiliated and attached to it one day is going to be gone. So why would we put our hopes and our energies? Why would we put everything in the here and now and just live for self when we have someone to live for that wants to reward us throughout all of eternity? You get the idea by the big picture? So give me your circumstance. What are you going through? Cancer? Unwanted pregnancy? Rejection from family? Rejection from friends? Financial loss? What are you going through? What are you going through? Uncertainty about the future? What are you going through? It doesn't matter according to the Word of God. Emotionally, we need to understand this. Soon, and very soon, this life is over. And we will have great regret if we went through this life and did not stay focused upon the Lord. And even with the young people, it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come nigh. Right now. Who's going to have regret? I'll tell you who's going to have regret. The individuals who got consumed with all of this and missed out on serving the Lord and they lost focus. Keep focused. Keep focused. So very important that we understand what is going on with this world. So number one, prayerfully consider your situation before saying, I do. Point number two, prayerfully consider your service before I say, I do. The person you're contemplating marrying, are they going to help me in my walk with the Lord? Are they going to stay with me when I go out and serve Jesus? Are they going to be there in 10 years and 20 years and 30 years? How about that? Consider your service, because you don't want somebody that's going to inhibit your service. You want somebody who's going to complement your service so you can, if you will, build up treasures in heaven. Pick it up in verse 32. See, he's talking about the unmarried. And what does the unmarried care about? Seriously, the things of the Lord. You don't have a spouse. You don't have those obligations. So if you're unmarried, it's a great season in life. You can serve God with everything you've got. No distractions, right? But then in verse 33, but the married, what does the married have to do? Care about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Yeah. Every day that I wake up, God, how do I serve you today? But I also know, yes, Lord, how do I care for my wife? I have to love her as Christ has loved the church. God, how do I care for my children? I need to love them and care and model for them you. See, but I got responsibilities. And if somebody's car breaks down, I've got a responsibility. Or if something goes wrong here or there, I've got responsibility. So you know what? I am distracted in part. It's part of life. We all deal with these things, right? Single person stays focused. They might not have some of this distraction. When you do get married, you have obligations. Yes, it's great to be married. Yes, it's great to have kids. But while you're single, you can remain not being distracted. See, there's a difference in verse 34. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, how she can be holy in both body and spirit. But notice this, she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Young couple, brought home their first child. It was time to change the diaper. And the wife's changing the diaper and says, dear, maybe you want to do this. And he looked and he goes, oh, the next one. A few hours rolled by, and you know, his babies are pretty consistent. It was time again to change the diaper. And she said, hey, honey, you said that you would do the next one. And he looked at her and said, I meant the next kid, not the next diaper. Distractions. Notice in verse 35, and get this, everybody, particularly when you are single. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without what? Distraction. Without distraction. Oh, how I long for the single people to serve God while they're in that condition without distraction. That is what God would have for you to prepare for life. To serve him and to be unencumbered with other things that might distract you. Without distraction. Eugene Peterson shares a story about a completely unchurched young woman who started attending his church and made a genuine commitment to follow Jesus. In the ensuing months, she presented herself for baptism and started growing as a disciple. studying Scripture and attending worship, embracing everything readily and gladly. But there was one thing that puzzled Peterson. The young woman continued to live with her boyfriend, as she had done for years, and she was uninterested in marriage. Then Peterson shared the rest of the story. "She told me all this without apology and not as a confession, but quite casually. As we were getting acquainted with one another, I wondered if I should say something. Surely she knew that the Christian way had some sexual implications for the way that you lived. She was in church each Sunday. I assumed that she would eventually notice. I waited for her to bring up the subject. One day on impulse, I said, 'We have been having these conversations for 7 months.' He asked her, 'Would you do something for me?' 'Sure, what is it?' 'Live celibate for the next 6 months.' Surprised, she said, 'Why would I do that?' 'Trust me, I think it's important.' I later learned that her boyfriend moved out before the week was over. A month later, when she came to see me, she didn't mention it, but the following month, she brought it up. 'When you asked me to live celibate for 6 months, I had no idea what you were up to. You asked me to trust you, and so I did. It's been 2 months now, and I think I understand what you were doing. I feel so free. I've never felt so myself before, never felt so at home with myself. I thought everybody did what I was doing. All my friends did. I just thought that this was the American way. And now I am noticing so many other things about my relations with others. They seem so much more clean and whole, so uncluttered. And do you know what? I have been thinking that I might want to get married someday. Thank you.' The celibacy decision survived the 6-month mark and continued for 2 more years, at which time she and her fiancé exchanged vows, and I blessed their Christian Isn't that precious? Isn't that what you want to hear? Because it is so unlike the world to live celibate. So what have we learned? Prayerfully consider your situation before saying I do. Number two, prayerfully consider your service before saying I do. Number three, prayerfully consider your child's situation before saying you can. Right? You have to remember, back in the biblical day, parents arranged marriages. It was up to them to give the green light or to say, no, you cannot get married. It was in their court. Verse 36, let me show you how this worked. "But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly towards his virgin," the implication is his virgin daughter. If, in other words, he's going, you know what, I'm really struggling because I know the present distress, but I'm not letting her get married yet, and he's really struggling with his decision. Notice he goes on to say, what happens if she's getting older? If she is past the flower of her youth, if you will, she's an unclaimed church blessing. Ken Weiss put it this way, she's past the bloom of her youth. And thus, it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. In other words, he evaluates everything and he goes, well, I think in this situation, I need to get permission for my daughter to get married. He doesn't sin. There's nothing wrong with that. Verse 37. Now, after considering it, he says, you know what? I don't think it'd be better for you to get married. One man might go, no, at this time, I want you to stay single. That's okay, because notice in verse 38, singleness has its advantages. Let me read this to you. So then, he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. Yeah, why? Because so she could stay focused on serving the Lord, at least at that season in life. Now let's bring this to close with the fourth point. It's this. Marry only a Christian, and if it is God's will, right? Marry only a Christian, and if it is God's will. Look at verses 39 and 40. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. See, it's for better, for worse, for richer and poorer, to what? Death do us part. You got it. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes. But notice those last few words, only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. Any marriage, any Christian has one choice. When you get married, you marry in the Lord. If that person doesn't know Jesus, if that person isn't a Christian, then you are sinning against God. And I always say this to people, why in the world would you start off dating unsaved people? Why on planet Earth, if you know that God says you cannot marry an unbeliever, why would you even go down that path? Why would you even go in that direction? Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Right? The idea is when you are single, you are focused on the Lord. And you allow God to bring you the spouse just as God did for Adam. That is how it should be. You need to stay focused. You need to serve the Lord. You need to let everybody know this is my priority. And then if God brings somebody your way, you evaluate the circumstance. You evaluate the situation. You determine if this is the one God wants for you. But if it's not a person that is a believer, then you have no right to even be with that person at all. You got that? You have no right to even be seeing that person, dating that person, anything, period. Because what do you want one day? Do you want to marry somebody and have Satan as your father-in-law? Because that's essentially what you're going to get if you marry an unbeliever. So I tell the Christian young people, stay focused. Serve the Lord. Give God everything that you have. When you get older and you're ready for marriage, what I mean ready for marriage? You've used your singleness wisely. You've gotten a good education. So you've gone on to college and maybe God's provided for that. So you've gone on so that you can have a good job. Or you've gone to a vocational school and you've gotten training so that you can go out and provide because you have the skills necessary to survive in life. See, it all comes down to using your singleness wisely. In order that you can serve God at that season of life, and then if he wants you married, when the time comes, you will be ready for marriage because you have done what God wants you to do. That is how it is supposed to function in the world. But let me tell you something. It doesn't function that way. Our young people are out, and they're just running around with a bunch of idiots oftentimes. Am I missing anything, anybody? Are they running around with a bunch of idiots? They really are. You know, if you're walking down the street, and I want to say this all due respect, and you can't even have your pants up, you know what I mean? If you can't keep your pants up, do you really think you're going to provide for somebody one day? Can you think you're going to go to get your job, you're going to walk in, they're going to interview you, you're going to turn around, and that person's going to see more than they've ever wanted to see, and you're going to get hired on the spot. What do you think? You know what I'm talking about. And then we see the young ladies going around, and they're just modeling in modesty. And they're out there, and they're just showing more than was ever designed to be shown in public. Right? And everybody's proud of this kind of activity and proud of this kind of life. And then they go to their clubs and they think that they're going to have some fun and they're going to do their thing. And they go out partying and they're doing this and that. And I'm going, you know what, Christian? You have no right with any of that foolishness. We walk with God. We serve God. If God wants us to get married, God will bring the right person into our life. You evaluate the circumstance. You evaluate the situation. You allow God to direct it. And then you let him just give you the green light. It's not that hard. But yet we have a world out there that have bought into the satanic inducements of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we have kids that are more messed up than ever at 15, 16, and 17 years of age. And you know what? I dump a lot of it on the parents. Parents have done a horrific job raising their kids. They have not given direction. They have not kept their kids in church. They haven't brought them to Sunday school. They don't bring them to Bible study. They don't teach them how to dress properly. They allow them to run around with morons. And I'm going, where is our influence and where is our, you know, authority that we have? Now listen to me. Kids are individuals. And at a point in life, they can make choices and they can walk away from it all. But you just make sure that you take them up to the point. You make sure that you're that Christian model who shows them the right way. So that way, if they get off the beaten path, it's because they did it on their own. And it's not because that's where you pointed them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We've got responsibilities. And it doesn't matter what your situation is today. You can turn around right now, young person. Do you understand that, young person? You can turn around right now. You can turn around and say, you know what? I'm going to live for God. I don't care what my past was. I don't care about the baggage in the past. I'm going to choose to start living for God and get undistracted so I can stay focused on him. I'm going to get in the word. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to do the things he wants me to do, and I'm going to let him take care of my life. I'm going to allow God to point me in the right direction with a job. I'm going to point me in the right direction with the spouse. I'm going to allow him to control my life. And when you do that and let God take, if you will, the driver's wheel, he does so much a better job than we do. But you need to let him have it. You need to step back and forget about watching everybody and all their foolishness. You know, the heroes of today, God is repulsed by. The heroes that our young ladies are looking up to, and sometimes our young men, those are the people that God, if you will, would vomit on. Why? Because they're not pleasing to him by anything that they do. We need a standard of righteousness and godliness, and you need to have the determination that you are going to marry only in the Lord. Verse 40. See, but she is happier if she remains as she is. See, single. According to my judgment, and I think I also have the Spirit of God. And some of you, God might say you're single, and in this part of life, it's better to stay single. You just serve him as being single and be content with that and know that you're laying up treasures in heaven, and you just stay focused. Right? Some parents at times just have to have a talk with their kids. You really do. I don't care what you've done in the past. Some of you need to go and get the slate clean. Some of you need to go say, I didn't do this right with you, but I want to do it right now. Let me tell you, this is how you need to do it. And you sit down and you start walking them through that they need to be focused on God and they need to be in the Word and they need to be serving God. And they need, if you will, to be around other Christians. They need to separate from all the unholy people that would pull them down, because that's what Satan is trying to do. It's time for us to start looking our kids in the eye and say, what are you thinking about 100 years from now? What are you thinking about 1,000 years from now? Stop whining and tell me about your pathetic situation. It's time for you to stand up and start serving God, because this life is brief. Let's start serving him together. Everybody know what I'm talking about? That's what we need to be engaged in. Let me state these points one more time as you're turning to Ephesians chapter 5 in closing. Prayerfully consider your situation before saying, I do. Young person, walk with God. He'll give you direction. Prayerfully consider your service before saying, I do. Evaluate in that process. Am I going to have to give up too much by this marriage, by this courtship in serving the Lord? And if so, then you need to just stay single and stay focused. Allow God to direct you there. Parents, you need that walk in wisdom. And sometimes you need to put your feet down and you need to say, you know what, you can't see that person anymore. I do not give you permission. Take away the phones. Take away the privilege. Sometimes you need to stand up to the plate and be a parent. That's what we do. That's what we do. And we're not always the most popular people on planet Earth. But if we do what's right and we model for our kids what's right and set the standards for what's right, we'd be in much better shape. We need to stand up. It's time. And then finally, marry only a Christian, and if it is God's will. Back to our scripture reading, which is our closing passage, Ephesians 5. Here we go, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. It means carefully. It means diligently. It's used in Matthew chapter 2 when Herod sent out search for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was diligent in that. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How do you know what the wise person does? It's what's going on before it. Walk in love, chapter 5 in the beginning. Walk in a light. Move away from darkness. Move away from the things that are unfruitful. That's what it says, verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Making the most of every opportunity to serve the Lord and invest everything into that. And finally, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? It's to stay away from darkness. It's to wake up spiritually. Look at verse 14, chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead. And what is Christ going to give you? Light. Yeah. It's time to wake up, my friends. It's time to understand life is short. It's time to get focused on the things that are eternal and make a wholehearted commitment to God, to make determination that you're going to lead your kids appropriately. It is now the time to make that kind of commitment. And may I ask everybody right now, bow your heads and close your eyes and tell God what your plan is.